God's got a plan and we're in it, you know. What a time to be alive. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Matthew 24, please, verse 3. Let's speak it together, please. Now, as Jesus sat on a Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All of these are called the beginning of sorrows. We have come to the conclusion of the beginning of sorrows." The conclusion. It says in verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Again, we are at the conclusion of the beginning of sorrows. This country is what we call, the United States is the wings of eagles. And this country has been sold in slavery for many years. It's been morality has been dismantled. We've been experimented on as guinea pigs. We've been lied to, manipulated, coerced, and deceived, while the elite of corruption gets fat for the slaughter. Hallelujah. They hide themselves behind their wealth, not realizing that God Almighty sees every intent of the heart. We have crossed a dimensional timeline that has no return, no time to turn back. It's a time to work things out. All connected. It's time to work things out. All connected revolves around the feast of the Lord. Everything revolves around the feast of the Lord. And his prophetic timeline, what's he doing? He's going to usher in a new era of blessings, prosperity, and favor to his people. A new start, a new beginning, a new year, proclaimed with the Feast of Trumpets. It is the Jewish New Year. From September 22nd to the 24th of this month, it's being celebrated. For the first time, 100 priests will be gathered together. They will blow the trumpets for the first time together since 70 AD. When Jerusalem was destroyed. And it will be televised globally. Why? Because we have the technology now. It is a summons from God to examine self, to awake and warning. September is a strategic transitional time for me and you, for the body of Christ. Is a place where we're letting go of the past and coming into the new. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. It's a time to turn from any evil way and start walking in righteousness. September 7th, we had a full blood moon, a lunar eclipse. These are all prophetic connected insights of preparation of things coming. For the first time since the destruction of the temple, there has been no high priest to offer sacrifices or to offer the red heifer in preparation of building the temple. They just anointed a high priest who is the descendant bloodline of Aaron. This has never happened before either. This is all in Jerusalem. Remember, all eyes are on Israel now. You can't make this stuff up. It's happening. We're there. For the first time, technology can reach the global world. The Temple Institute has been preparing for the Feast of Trumpets for years. We'll then enter what we call the 10 days of awe to the Feast of Atonement, which is a time of repentance. We are in conclusion of the beginning of sorrows. I call it the beginning of the end. And we have teachings on the beginning of the end, but I couldn't call it this, so. Because we have too many teachings on it, really. Some other events have occurred that are, I think, quite important. Would you turn to Malachi 3? In verse 1, behold, I send my what? Messenger. And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is what? Coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver and will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, those who exploit wage earners, and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says. But you say, in what way, what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me even this day of this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the fellowship, right? That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. So he sent his messenger to prepare the way. Warning. Because, you know, we're in a time right now where greed and selfishness is overramping. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. People are living for themselves, not for God. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The messenger is in the spirit of and power of Elijah. In other words, boldness. I'm going to share with you what the Lord shared with me, who this messenger was. His name is Charlie Kirk. He is the messenger at this point. There's no coincidence that he was taken home during this period of time and during the feasts, during right now in this September. He was God's messenger to go before him. He's anointed in the spirit of Elijah with boldness to decree and declare the truth to the youth and to everyone. In Mark 1, in verse 1 through 3, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness." This is Charlie. "Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." Oh, how powerful. "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of" what? "Repentance for the remission of sins." "Then all of the land of Judea, those from Jerusalem, went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Think of how many people repented as Charlie got done preaching. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 24, "And the angel of the Lord said to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the beginning forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the priest, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome time. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, or what we call 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering." So again, you can't have sacrifice, you can't bring an end to sacrifice and offerings if it hasn't started yet. Amen? So they have bred the red heifer, which is they must sacrifice before they can start to build the temple. Now, I have my own understanding of something. And it says, "And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." So we know that the temple, which is right now the dome, is controlled by the Muslims. Amen? Now, I would not be surprised if God strikes it with lightning and blows the bejeebies out of it. I don't think we need, because see, if Israel does it, it's going to start a whole war. But if God does it, it ain't going to do nothing. If it's done by, you know, natural disaster. So I'm praying that the Lord strike it with fire or lightning and wipe that sucker out so they can build the temple. Amen? Then they can start the sacrifices, because they have the priest that's been anointed. by the descendant bloodline of Aaron. Amen. They have the red heifer, which they can sacrifice, so they can throw that the ashes out onto the temple floor so that they can start building. Everything is falling into place right now. It's amazing. We've already had the messenger come and be taken home. Things are turning around everywhere, isn't it? Look at how many, he reached more people dead than he did alive. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Book of what? Book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Has technology increased? Yeah, that's why they're going to see it. It's going to be televised globally. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, and one on this side of the riverbank and on the other side of the riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, that I shall be for a time, times, and half a time, which is 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people have been completed, completely shattered, all these things must be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, so the temple must be restored, the daily sacrifices must begin. Everybody understand that? Remember, he's talking prophetically, end time, now. And the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to it 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Powerful. Go to Matthew 24. Again, you can't have a time of desolation and a stop of sacrifices without starting the sacrifices. In verse 15. Hallelujah. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the Daniel the prophet, which we just spoke, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation. So again, he's talking about tribulation, then they're going to enter into great tribulation, such as not been seen the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says, you look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here he's in a desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When in its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these signs, know that it is near at the door. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Hallelujah. Powerful. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 1. Let's speak it now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Who's who? Satan. Hallelujah. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God, where? In the temple of God. So the temple's got to get built, doesn't it? Showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And who is that? Holy Spirit, body of Christ. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. And I'm going to close at Revelation 12. The conclusion of the beginning of sorrows. We're there. It's happening. It's too bad not everybody knows that we're there and it's happening. Revelation 12, starting at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, which are angels. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to those inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that it is a what? Short time. You don't think he knows what's going on right now? He knows his time's up. He's going to do everything he can to destroy the earth. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. And this is where I really believe the United States is helping Israel. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. I also believe that the two wings of an eagle are representing of Moses and Elijah. So the serpent spewed out of his mouth, water out of his mouth, like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offsprings who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is where the United States plays a very powerful role, because the United States and Israel are like brothers and sisters. The United States represents the spirit of Elijah. Israel represents the spirit of Moses, the law. And we are united with them. And that's why many times you see what's happening over there is happening here. We are in a tremendous transition. Things are happening. It's not, you can't make this stuff up, especially this September. And in these 10 days of awe, we will come to the Feast of Atonement. And God gives us 10 days to get our stuff together. Because we're going to see judgment come. It won't be God's wrath yet. It'll be judgment. Nobody escapes God's wrath. But there'll be judgment. There'll be conviction. There'll be many things going on. Many people will die. Millions will die all over. There'll be disasters. Remember, the enemy is out to destroy the earth and all humanity. If they can poison us, they will. The waters, wormwood, cancer, anything that they can do to harm us. So we must be filled up, dressed up, empowered up, and be ready as a witness. We are called to be the extension of God's messengers and forerunners of his return. What we've learned tonight, we need to share. We need to spread it. We need to tell people what's going on. Some people might think you're nuts. And this has been my whole life, so it doesn't matter. But we are in a critical time. And we can't become complacency or lazy or be distracted. We must stand for what is about God's business, the kingdom business, no matter what. You know that in Israel, nobody can buy a piece of property there. Pretty amazing. They buy it, but they don't own it. They buy it because they actually lease it. Because God is the only one that owns that property. Out of all the properties and lands in the world, people own properties and lands, but nobody owns anything in Israel. It's all God's. And when somebody buys a building or whatever, has something built, it's just leased to them. Because he owns it all. Amen? So don't forget, he does own it all. He's the holder of everything. We don't own nothing. He owns it all. We're just servants and keepers of it. Amen? We're stewards of the things that he's given us and blessed us with. And we want to be good stewards. But we want to be ready in season and out. Amen? We want to deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow daily. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We promise to give you all the glory and praise. And thank you for the revelation and prophetic insight. And thank you for so many servants that have gone before us and died, been assassinated or martyred, and spread the word and preparing for your coming. Lord, I want to pray for Carol, Dwight's wife, who is in dire need of a miracle. So we ask, Lord, that you would visit her tonight and comfort those who are mourning for lost loved ones and those who are crying out to you for healing, Lord. So we thank you for your mercies and grace, and we thank you for your answered prayer, because your covenant is and your words are yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen.